If you've just tuned in, you're about 35 minutes late. We start the program about 6 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining me. My guest, Judy Eganoff, Amherst Exchange, been in the business 34 years and announcing her retirement, still will be around for years to come to follow up on all of her past clients because there's always follow-up questions. Her clients are like Columbo. It's just one more question, always coming back. So one of the big changes that I mentioned before the break was that, you know, you own a rental property, and then when they came up with this capital gains exclusion, $250,000 for a single person, $500,000 married couple, for your
primary... That's on a personal... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're getting right to it.
Yeah, for your...
That's on personal use property, not exchange property.
Exactly. Primary residence, so... Not an exchange property.
Or even a second home, because it's personal use property qualifies.
Very good, very good. So that was the routine, and they came out with that. And so if you just had a house and you sold it, it was great. You got that exclusion for the first part of the gain. And what the rule was, you had to occupy the home for an aggregate of two out of the last 5 years to qualify. And so what people were doing would be they would take their rental home or condo. I know. I just hope you can last another 10 minutes.
Good.
Judy has been fighting a tremendous cold and congestion and cough, and she was game enough to come on, so I really appreciate it. You do sound good.
I'm feeling good.
Well, you did sound good up until that that attack you just had. So people would move into their rental property, live there for 2 years, boom, sell it. And then maybe they had five rental properties, so they just kept moving. And so the government decided that wasn't good. And what did they do about it? Section 121, was that the answer?
Well, Section 121 is the initial personal residence. It replaced the rollover of a personal residence. So when you sold a personal residence under Section 121, at the close of escrow, you just swept $250,000 if you are a single person or $500,000 if you're a married couple, right off the top, tax-free. Then everything else is calculated from there. So in an exchange... If you have moved in to a property that you purchased in an exchange, first of all, you really can't do it for the first 24 calendar months, though that rule is bent all the time. On audit, you would have a weak position. But so let's just assume you rented it out for 2 years. Then you move in and call it your personal residence. And in order to qualify for this personal residence Section 121 exclusion, you have to have lived in and owned a property for two of the past 5 years. So once you have lived in it for 2 years, so I'm going to start, you buy it, you rent it out for 2 years. Whoops, then you change your mind. Now you move in and you live in it for 2 years. So now you've owned the property for 4 years. Of the 4 years, two of the years, it was a commercial use because you rented it out. And two of the years were personal use. So you get basically 50% of the $250,000 or the $500,000, whatever your configuration qualifies you for. And the ratio is basically set and is going to stick with this property for the rest of your ownership of the property. The first 2 years were commercial use. So let's say you live in it for 10 years and then you sell it, and it's your personal residence that you're selling. Well, you get 2/10 or 1/5 of the, I'm sorry, you don't get 1/5, you do get 4/5 of the $250,000 or $500,000. So there's always a ratio.
Okay, so your example, you own a rental property, you move into it,
mm-hmm.
you live in it for 10 years, then you go to sell it, and instead of getting, if you're a single person, $250,000 exemption, uh-huh. they deduct 2/10 from the $250,000 because that first 2 years, they're never going to let go of that first 2 years.
Right. Its use was actually commercial for the first 2 years.
So if you live in it for 20 years and you sell mm-hmm. it, they're going to deduct 2/20th?
Correct.
Of the $250,000.
Correct.
So the longer you live in it, the less impactful it becomes, but they were trying to prevent people from moving in 2 years and then boom, turning around and selling it. They were making out like bandits, a way to get rid of commercial property and avoid paying taxes. I don't know how long they got away with that before they made this change.
Not that long, actually. But, I mean, probably 4 years, I think.
Yeah, I knew a couple of people that were doing it. They did well. It didn't take them too long to figure out.
Well, it was way in advance of inflation. I mean, this was a lot of money on what people were doing.
Okay.
You know, it just was excessive.
Now, I've always heard the adage that the best way to acquire property is to inherit property. Because of the stepped-up basis.
Yes.
And if you bought a house for $50,000 and you live in it, now it's worth $2 million and you die, and whoever inherits it, the basis is $2 million. So there's never a gain for that primary residence. There's never a taxable gain on that because of the stepped-up basis upon your death. So in your example where you had someone who moved into their rental property, and we said if you live in it for 10 years and they sold it, you would deduct 2/10. Do you know what happens if they didn't sell it but they just pass away?
You're still looking at stepped-up basis.
You're still
heirs.
Right. Okay, so maybe the whole idea of the exemption even goes away, because if you're living in a home and you pass away, you have the stepped-up basis.
You don't need the exemption because you have a stepped-up basis. You have zero.
Now, I hate to put you on the spot because I know you're not an accountant.
Definitely not.
My buddy Jeff, I know with this new Prop 19, I'm going to have a guest on upcoming about Prop 19. But if you own a rental property and you've owned it for many years and you die and you leave it to your child, mm-hmm. Does that get the stepped-up basis?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the only real accounting question to be answered is about what happens to the depreciation that you had,
so
the
recapture. So that's an exchange issue. Depreciation recapture has to do only with commercial property. I don't think you depreciate a personal residence, so I guess that's a self-answering question, right?
Well, that part's true. That's part's true. But I wonder, because I know when you sell, if you just sell an income property and you don't do an exchange, then you have to pay back that recapture tax. So I wonder
at 25%.
Yeah,
that depreciation recapture is on top of all the other taxes that would be due.
Right. Right. So then I wonder, we'll have to get an accountant on to find out if you moved into the house, converted it to your primary, does that recapture tax go away? Or maybe worst case, you're saying if it applies, you'd pay 25%.
It's true, but I think all of that goes away with a stepped-up basis, once again, upon death.
Okay. Well,
so
it's good.
That part is.
Thank you. I was never clear on how that worked with someone moving into their home and then selling it. And now with that 2 years, you explained it very well. If you live there for 10 years, they deduct 2/10. If you live there for 5 years, they deduct 2/5 of your entitled capital gains exemption, $250,000 for single, $500,000 for a married couple.
So, Mark, I just have to appreciate you on the air. I love the way you are able to explain things succinctly and so clearly. I listen to you and think, yeah, that's what I meant to say, only it took me an hour and a half, and it took him a sentence. So I'm just very impressed. It's been my honor and privilege to get to talk with you over the years. Thank you so much for being great.
Well, God, I don't know what to say. You, of course, are the expert. I'm just the guy sounding like I know what I'm doing, but really, without a guest like you who really has the experience and know-how, you make my job very easy, and it's been fun over the years, and thank you for the little swan song interview. Amherst Exchange, 34 years in Santa Barbara, retiring November 2022. But Judy Eganoff will still, of course, be around to follow up with all our clients. And
Mark, I have another thing that I should say here, and maybe people could communicate with you, although I don't. What I have is a list of 5 qualified intermediary companies that I recommend without reservation. None, unfortunately, are local because we don't have any other competitors locally.
Hmm.
But these 5 companies are the best of the best, and I am very happy to email the list to anyone who would like it. It's really to continue taking care of clients of Amherst's. We want them to have happy, smooth exchanges going forward. So,
okay, well, that's good to know. And please, for some reason, I think I did get an email from you or saw that somewhere, but please email me again. So
okay.
If people reach out to you or to me, they can have that list.
Yes.
Judy,
thank you.
Judy Eganoff, please feel better. Feel better. Get over that little cold you have. And thank you so much for fighting through it and being my guest today.
My pleasure. Thank you. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye. The rest of you, are you retiring? Stay tuned for the weekly Multiple Listing Sales Update.